Say hello.
Hello.
So we're live on our personal camera. A few different shots from us.
Not live, you're just videoing.
Video, exactly. Sean Bites. Sean Bites. See us live? I mean video. Okay, let's go. Now let's open this up.
Oh, gosh. Do you want to tell the kids not to come in?
Yep. And they get the point.
One second, I need to yawn.
Okay, we're connecting. Here he is. Yeah!
Yeah! He said he's in, but I also, he hasn't. He's here.
I'm here.
Where are you? How are you?
Good, man. You're not seeing what I'm seeing.
What do you mean?
Take a look.
What's it on?
Hi! It's the soulmate! Hi!
Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you.
My head's cut off now.
No, it's just the way it looks on here. Let's make sure. You can see our full heads?
I can see your full heads.
Amazing.
Good.
Hello.
Oh, look at Prater. Hey.
Let's go. That's a foursome. This is it. The Fabulous Four.
Fabulous Four. Her's just here to help us out today.
Thank you.
Here to say hello.
Hi.
Ellie.
Hi.
And
thanks for organizing this. We really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
You're a star. So flexible. So convenient. All the...
It's my...
All the right... Professional flow. Okay, amazing.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, do you guys typically have a comment? Not a comment.
We might comment afterwards.
Do you guys typically have a flow that you guys follow
for your vibes? Relationship flow. That's it. That's exactly what it is.
Okay. Do you want to do your... I have the link, so I'll press record when you're ready. Do you just want to go through your normal flow of your intro?
Yeah, we can do that. I know what to say.
She looked. She had a hesitation. That was the.
No, I'm more introverted, so
yeah.
I'm going out of my comfort zone here.
She's been doing it all audio till now, so this is a big. You know.
She's been doing audio. Does she want me to like half the screen?
No, it's fine.
Does she want to log in on her phone with her icon and it just blinks when she talks?
I teach exercise classes in front of in the studio in front of loads of people, so. I go into my zone. It's okay.
Do I need to turn on workout music? Is there a song that you would like to walk up to?
No, you have such a great energy. You have a really good energy. You don't need music.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. I don't need the music.
So, all right. So what I'll do is, so Per's on here. Per, you don't have to stay on. I just wanted them to see you and say hello. Even though I know you got yourself together for them. We appreciate that.
Yeah, you look great.
Yes. Past my
bedtime. Per, you look great. It's past their bedtime, so we don't want to hold it up. So what I guess I'll do is I'll just press record, Ellie, and then you can go on with your normal intro.
Thanks.
And then like we did on our last one, do you have the questions that you want to ask, or are we just going to have a conversation?
Yeah, so what are you, I just want to, before we start record, just one more point. Are you really trying to push the book? Is that your focus right now, the middle ground? Like, just so I know what you want.
I don't know, Per. What is my focus now? I'm not even being funny. We have had a discussion about this for this last 90 days. So, yes, we do want to promote the book. The principles in the book, really what I'm looking to gather is to get more engagement and followers from this effort.
Amazing.
So... I think it should just flow. Like,
yeah, agreed.
If you have things you want to focus on, really, no, don't you think?
Well, look, just to get to this podcast was in itself a relationship flow. So.
Yes, it was a relationship flow.
Yeah.
So why don't we go into that? So I'll press record. I'll do a 3, 3, 2, 1 countdown. I'll press record. Ellie, you can go directly into it. This will be raw, and we own the footage, so
amazing.
I can send it over to Per, and then Per can kind of edit it quickly for us, and then we can get it back to you.
Thank you, sir.
And that way you can use the, because I see that you have your title card and things like that on your podcast. So I know you probably want to do that. Are you guys just interested in the audio from it?
We're happy to get whatever you can get. The more the better.
So I guess I'll go in and talk as if one, it's audio, and then I'll let the video be the bonus content.
Amazing.
So they'll be able to see. They'll try to make sure that it's good.
That's good.
I saw your last episode, Flow with Real Happiness and True Freedom.
Yeah.
It was for Passover?
That's right.
Okay.
It's a very intense time, like in the calendar for our people, like cleaning the house and the whole transition. It means a lot.
Can we ask about that? Because I don't think most people know what Passover is.
Sure. You know, I grew up in,
they see it.
I grew up with both worlds. I grew up with Easter eggs in London, you know, like that was my upbringing. So I did have Passover as well, but I know like how it, from this way to that way, from hardly any experience of it. And then now it's become such a part of our life. So we're happy as a couple, really my wife's the one doing the hard work. Honestly, I'm sort of doing this, doing some other kind of work. I'm not sure. So,
okay. All right. So I'll go in and start the recording after the countdown, and then I'll let you go into your intro the way that you do it on your podcast. All right.
Great.
Looking forward to it, guys. All right.
Thank you, man.
We'll go in 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
What'd you say, Per? Per, you're going to stay on? Oh. All right. 3, 2, 1.
Recording in progress.
Yeah, so welcome to our relationship Flow Meets the Middle Ground. That's Glenn Sandifier. We're so happy to be here. And we know that this guy, Glenn's doing some big stuff in the relationship space, especially with dating and marriage, something which we have a lot of respect for. You know, we've gone on our journey, and we know how important part of our life was that we were able to find each other and get to that focus in life. And even though now we're married 21 years and plus, it's been a struggle, the two of us. Yeah, congrats. And but it's been a struggle that we know that we're on the right way, like we're getting closer.
We want to go on it together.
Exactly. So I'm Eddie Goldsmith. This is my soulmate, Masha Goldsmith, aka Teeny Pop 613, and she's honoring us with her presence. We did do a pre-game episode together, just Glenn and I, but to have my soulmate present is a whole nother level, and we appreciate Glenn making the space for us to do our thing.
Thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with both of you and your audience with the Relationship Flow podcast. I am interested, and I think a lot of people are that may not know, soulmate. What is kind of the context behind the language around soulmate? It's very intentional for those of us that have grown up with a faith-based belief system. So talk to us a little bit about why you guys like to use that.
Well, from the first time we met, there was always that soul connection, even though like I was living in, as we spoke in my previous episode together, previous conversation, we spoke about, you know, that we weren't really in that space of soul connection. There was other focuses, but by the time we were having a very deep friendship, there was definitely a flow of soul. You agree?
Yeah, we just knew. We just felt like we knew each other in a past life or something. It was like weird. We've been connected before. There's something, we know each other. There was like this familiarity of soul. I think.
And we had all the other kinds of like good guy and girl, man and woman flow in terms of attraction, you know, and the lifestyle, similar kinds of goals and conversation flowed. But the soul thing really was like very, very profound and overwhelming. It was almost like tearful because it was so.
Yeah. Well, we were also at a stage of our life where we were kind of like tired of the way people in the world were just becoming very superficial and more material. And we were going on our own soul journey as well, which is how we also connected, because we just had very deep, real conversations about life and things. So we were open. We were very open there, but we also saw that we were, our souls were connected, and we had a similar vision.
Yeah, and it manifested in like creative spaces as well, in terms of my wife's an artist and dancer, and she has all those skills, and I was a musician and in the music space, and there was just like this need to express and share. Like, we shared gifts with each other that were more meaningful, even poems and books and candles.
For his 18th birthday, everyone was giving him these like fancy presents, and I decorated a shoebox, and I put in like a kaleidoscope and Mr. Daydream, because we were dreaming, and my favorite poem by Robert Frost, The Road Not Taken, and I put in a little frame, like little meaningful things that I put in this box, and I gave it to him, and I was quite nervous because an 18th is quite a big birthday, and he was getting these really nice presents, but I wanted it to be more soulful.
But I do appreciate we had that physical connection as well when we met the first time running around the gym.
Yeah.
In fact, we met before that even. We were like going, it's called shoe hopping. You know, like, it was a holy day.
No, we didn't grow up religious, but we'd go to the synagogue. On the festivals. And we'd like hopped, like, it was kind of more like a social scene.
Yeah. And so, we met each other out. So that was the first time we met.
I saw you. We weren't introduced then.
Yeah. The second time we actually spoke was running around the gym. And
Did you saw him? Did the sky light up?
Yeah. So
you say, I got to get to know that man over there, but not today.
No. So yeah. So very much.
Did I look like this then?
No, he looked really good.
He looked really good.
No, he looked like the perfect for
the look of
that time, he 90s. Was like the look, and like all the girls liked him. But it's very interesting because as we've been together for much longer, I see him in such a different way. Like, I feel he's more good looking to me now because it's not just about the looks. It's something much deeper. We're best friends.
You guys use the language around soulmate, but here in the West, that is looked at from a romantic standpoint. I'm looking for my soulmate and the person that I can be my person in my life. But even as you both articulated it, it is deeper than just a topical romantic infatuation. It almost sounds like the different versions of love that are talked about in spiritual readings of what you guys have. And it sounds like it didn't grow. It started that way.
What I tell Ellie, which is so important, is it started that way, but it has to be nurtured. We can't take it for granted. Like, sometimes, you know, during more harder times in a relationship where we just, you know, frustrated and we feel the soul connection and that keeps us going, but I'm like, but we can't just take it for granted that we have the soul connection and that's such a strong thing, and it started that way.
One of our hard time periods where we almost felt like maybe our marriage wasn't working out, we had a spiritual mentor who saw that soul connection in us and gave us a tremendous amount of encouragement, but also gave us, and when I mean encouragement in the soul connection, like we can get through anything with this.
Basically, he said that if you were in a situation where you had to like sleep in a hut on like straw beds, like you'd still want to be with each other.
Yeah. And he drew like famous stories from from history, mystical figures who managed to have marriages like that. And then at the same time, he gave my wife, my soulmate, a lot of practical advice of how to nurture herself, so that our relationship would also be strong in all the other areas.
Yeah, I think that
he's still in our life doing that. Like, he's still present.
I think basically it was a time of my life where I realized, in terms of when things were a little bit rocky, was I needed to learn that you have to have a relationship with yourself, and you have to love yourself, and you have to have, and I've always been very self-aware, but
You neglected yourself a little bit.
Through a lot of, you know,
being a mummy.
And also, hard.
You know, we have six children, just so anyone out there should know. And they were quite.
Six.
Yeah. And they were quite close together. And thank God now they're like, we've got a 20-year-old and, you know, we're in a completely different space.
No, but I had to understand that he couldn't save me. Yeah. And he couldn't. So that it's often one thinks, oh, your soulmate or your partner is meant to save you and make you happy, but you enhance each other and you're happy with each other, but you have to fill up your hole.
You have to fill your hole. So another problem, we talked about kind of the romanticized version of what a relationship and a soulmate is, but sometimes when people, we find at the middle ground that when people do get into a relationship, they say, I lost myself. But you guys are saying you guys have been very intentional from a relationship standpoint to be able to have the space to invest and know who I am and grow and develop. I see that a lot with, and I deal particularly more with men, but even for the women that that I've had the privilege of speaking to and their wives, it's been, I've lost me. I don't know who I am. And a lot of times it sounds like, Ellie, you did a great job of this, of understanding that as a woman, as a wife, as a mother, and then the different seasons, I guess, of parenting, there was a change. And you guys made sure that you were intentional about allowing you to have that space to grow and develop and then just work on your words for self-care. Yeah. So I think
I'll give you another thought that a lot of couples don't know about maybe nowadays because they maybe haven't seen it enough. But we also have a very strong vision of what we're going to do when we're older. We're in the golden days of our life, you know, we've worked hard, our kids are busy with whatever they're, and their children, hopefully, by that time. And we can just truly and purely enjoy the fact that we're soulmates and married. And it's something that we look forward to.
Yeah, we look forward
to it. We have like glimpses of it at the end of the day or when we go on our weekly dates or, you know, when we have our intimate times, but you know, these are moments where we can just sort of go off into our own world as a couple. But generally, like, it's, you know, the kids and work and pressures are very, you know, intense right at this point of our life. So like we were mentioning as well, there's a festival coming up that has a big, you know, impact on the schedule right now. And you have to like, still, even then, make time for the relationship.
But we do make time. We at 9:30 at 9:30 we say goodnight. The younger ones go to bed. The older ones do their own thing. Our door's closed, and it's our time. And you know, and that's really, really.
And
important.
From a blueprint standpoint, is it like 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, or where however the mood kind of takes you, or however the moment takes you? Of where your intention about connecting with one another.
What I don't understand. At night when like we go to our room?
Yeah, at night. So everyone's down. So being intentional about kind of the framework you have it, but do you guys put time limits or
no,
things on
there's
it?
No time. I often fall asleep.
Yeah, these days.
I wake up at 5:30 every morning. So I get quite tired, but we just love just listening to music together and just like connecting or even our intimate life is very important. And that's also really, really important in a relationship.
It's also like, you know, that we have, remember, the world doesn't know about this so much, but Andrew Huberman brought it up recently, the idea of 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. I don't know if it's discussed, but
let's dive into that. 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off.
So in our faith, you know, when you're not having spiritual system, when you're not having children right now, so then the wife is, you know.
No, don't do the children. When a woman is menstruating.
Yeah, so right now we're not having children, so you're menstruating 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off.
Basically. Meaning I'm not, right.
So it's not exactly 2 weeks because we also add on an extra week just to really, I don't know why, but we do. System, yeah. But the point is that what it does is it creates a tremendous excitement, a renewal in the relationship. The night of when we reconnect is a very special night. There's a tremendous
energy.
It's
as if it's the first time.
Yeah, like
it's
we just
really
got married.
Exciting.
It's like a wedding night every month. And And then the times after that are like, you know, different. But the point is, it's exciting to build towards that every 2 weeks. And the separation time works with obviously the menstruation, and that
it gives the woman a break, and it also gives time to also work on your relationship of your friendship side of things. It's not only about about, you know, the physical.
Brother, sister. There's other aspects of our relationship that we felt before we got married. Like we said, that soul connection, the soul level means all the different aspects of you can have relationship with a other person. They're all given their time for like focus. So we have the, you know, the husband wife, and we have the brother sister kind
friends,
of
friends.
Friends, like it's, there's all different kinds of ways of connecting, and it's important that those 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off give you that. And the, obviously as you get towards the end of the 2 weeks of separation, the drive and the intensity grows. Like you,
if you have a healthy
in that sense, and you're excited for each other, so then it just gets more and more like exciting and builds up, and then it's like the ultimate date night every month, you know, instead of it just being, you know, done this before kind of thing. It's no, it's completely like renewed.
So what encouraged you guys to begin the Relationship Flow podcast?
So we, that's a good question.
He started it himself. I don't know how.
I had three
podcasts.
I'm quite
a private person. I'm very expressive and open when I talk to people. I really enjoy having deep conversations. I'll always be open about myself when I'm talking to people, but to expose myself like on, you know, on social media or things, it's a little bit, I get a little bit more nervous, but so maybe that's.
But eventually you agreed.
Yeah, I agreed.
And I knew that really to make a relationship flow, it shouldn't just be one-sided. And we do watch other couples like Cara and Nate. They're like a YouTuber couple who go around. And if you heard of them, they're really cool, fun people, go travel hundreds of countries. You know, we watch these kind of like YouTubers who seem to have really good relationships and are able to communicate without getting specifically into the relationship focus. But it comes up every so on.
I think we also just not, we just wanted to. We're very real people. We're not trying to pretend that it's all easy, and we're not trying to pretend we know everything. We just thought it would be also just nice to just share what we what we go through, what's worked for us, I mean, and there, when things are hard as well, and how we deal with that also. Yeah.
And there were examples like back in the day, Tom Billy used to do a podcast with his wife. I don't know if he still does it. Relationship Theory, I think it's called. There was just a bunch of people doing it at certain points. Who else? Recently, I see Jay Shetty. He's actually working my family, funny enough, now. So Jay Shetty's got a really successful relationship podcast, and he has his wife on every so on. Not that often, but I just feel like my wife is a much deeper expression than emotionally than what I would be able to do. So it balances me out. I'm much more like floaty, or like, what's the word?
Aspirational, abstract.
Important for me to be brought down, to be relatable, because I can take people on spiritual journeys if they want, but my real goal is to know how to be spiritual down here, how to be spiritual with the wife, with the soulmate, how to be spiritual with the kids, how to handle money situations, like real life, and that's where the real struggle is. Because I can definitely be spiritual, no problem. Like, that's natural. That's easy for me. This is where it's the real fight begins, in the real world, in the real daily grind. And that's, my wife is soulmate, is helping me to spiritualize those aspects of my life by being hopefully valued and having good values and living them. And, you know, I feel like people right now are missing that focus, not because of their fault, but just because people like you and myself, we haven't yet become as big and mainstream as we need to be. And the voices out there of mainstream media generally missing that. So there's a big space right now for people like ourselves to really impact and emphasize the relationship values and how important they are. Jay Shetty's doing a pretty good job, but like I said, there's much more room for more. There's that Stefan guy I just had on his podcast. But there's still so much room for more, because everyone's coming from different perspectives, different experiences, And I think our unique journey can really help give hope to people that there's a deeper level of relationship flow and success. So I think that's one of the reasons why we did the podcast.
And also to show the what we spoke about before of knowing who you are and having place to find out who you are, because in order to have a relationship with somebody else, you have to know who you are and what you want and what your values and aspirations are. I think that's very important.
That's actually a really good transition. So at the middle ground, we believe that everyone can have the relationship outcome that they're looking for. You just first have to know who you are, know what you want, know what you qualify for, and know for who you qualify for what they want from you. So it sounds like you guys met each other at a kind of a formative stage, entering adulthood, and then there were kind of some ebbs and flows with it. How would you say and give advice to the audience after going through that process of what we spoke of the core four tenets? How do you keep the relationship moving and thriving as individuals do change in it?
You want to go?
You go.
I think, well, first of all, as you said, we started straight away with that soul connection. And what I said before is the need to nurture it. And I also came into our relationship with a bit less self-confidence and as much as I was aware of myself, but I was still finding myself. I think it's really important in your relationship to always keep on trying
We always say in our podcast is to
regroup. We always regroup with ourselves and regroup with each other. So it's not like something that, okay, this is it, this is who I am, this is who we are, this is how we do things. It's because there's always new things happening, new things being thrown at us, new dynamics, and we're evolving people as well. So it's just, I think feel people constantly also, regrouping.
Exactly. I think people need to realize there's a process as well. They're way too impatient. Like, people need to give much more time for the relationship. They're like, well, I can just get divorced, you know, God forbid. Yeah. It's so easy to just get yourself out of that. And that's not really the right mindset. Like I said, you have to have a long-term plan. It has to be the long game. And example would be our spiritual mentor. One of the things he said, which is very important for me to hear, was that your wife needs to know that you really love her. And to you, you think, well, I married her. Obviously, I do. But sometimes it's more than that. You have to, well, not sometimes, it always is. So you have to really be patient with that process until that moment when my soulmate turned to me and said, I now know you love me. Like, really. Remember that? And that was like years into our relationship. Years.
It was
And we'd had kids and, you know, we'd done all the things that relationships do. But for her to really feel that I love her, because, I'm coming from England, a bit more like cold-hearted, like business background in the music world, tough, called a mindset. And it took me a lot for our generation to sort of undo some of the lack of emotional healthiness of the previous generation to start to becoming more emotionally attuned and more expressive of love and more empathetic and, you know, all the good things that people need to do in relationships. But it took a process. It wasn't
immediate. We had to learn each other.
Yeah.
Just as we're learning ourselves, you also had to learn each other. And I think that's right. And also knowing we're totally different. We're also
safe with each other as well.
We're very safe.
When we've done some crazy things to each other in terms of like not respecting each other's boundaries and spaces and stuff, but we're still able to forgive. And
well, we're safe because we're able to talk about it. We talk everything out. And even with our kids, honestly,
if you ever get into the next, open with our kids, the next book, when you start talking about children, Glenn. Yeah.
Oh, God.
No, but just we talk, we, everything is talked out.
What do you say to that?
No, so the next book, kids, I will let you all do the book and the podcast first on parenting, because my wife and I are still on that parenting journey. Mm. Our kids are very young, but it's forced us to do a lot of things. I often talk about and say, for a relationship, if you can do the core four tenets and you're willing to do the work. As a man, you sign up for duty and responsibility, and then you have to learn to love. And that is taking all the information from the past of the woman that you're choosing. For women, they have to make a bet. You all have to make a bet and say, all right, this guy eventually is going to love me the way that I need to love, provide, protect, profess, priest in our home, and continue the legacy and move it forward. So it sounds like this is a great example, guys, for the two of you. I love this relationship, and I love the honesty and transparency that just following some basic tenets, whether they're tenets of your faith, whether they're tenets of your upbringing, can really lead to a great relationship outcome. What, outside of a couple of things that you said, which is work on yourself, work on the relationship by nurturing it, what can people do to prepare themselves for that relationship on the front end so that they're ready to do the work in the relationship?
Knowing what your triggers are.
Okay.
Which is really important. Yeah. I think that's a really important, because so often things, you know, your husband or your wife could say something or do something or act in a certain way that can trigger you. That's you translate it into something else because it's a trigger from something you've been through in your past, and you react in a certain way, or you think, oh, they're not being nice, or he's not meant to be, she's not meant to be for me. But it's when you have an understanding of what your triggers are, and it definitely helps to have easier communication and responses. So I think it goes back to just knowing who you're, understanding.
That's self-awareness.
Understanding yourself, understanding your...
Even though it was still quite superficial when we were teenagers, but we still, according to that time of our life, were really working hard to be more self-aware.
Yeah.
So we could appreciate each other. By the time we were in our early 20s when we got married, we just knew enough about each other that there was a connection. And that self-awareness, people need to really step out of all the noise. We took a break from the world, you know.
Yeah, we did.
I was running nightclubs before that and all kinds of noise, and I just said bye. I literally only had one phone number that was a lady on my phone, and it was my best friend at that time, which became my wife. So I literally just eliminated all the noise. Imagine nowadays only having one, you know, opposite sex on your phone. And this wasn't from religion. No one was coercing me. Wasn't any rabbi or priest or anybody out there telling me to do this. I just came to this awareness. I need to turn the TV off, which would be nowadays, whatever the phone is. I needed to just disconnect from all that noise and just focus in on who I am as a person. Then I could see who the other person is. So everyone just needs a bit of cleansing. Like, you know, Jay Shetty talks about his years as a monk, you know, monk wisdom. I mean, whatever path it is, but you've got to have just
and
the time.
And know how to communicate as well.
Yeah, and then once you've done that, you should hopefully communicate, because now you're not, the noise isn't there, the distraction isn't there.
So it sounds like other work on the front end, audience, is make sure you know your triggers. In our book and at the Middle Ground, we talk about the traumas. The traumas, both learned, unlearned, and unexperienced, kind of lead us to a belief system. Perfect example. We say that for the modern woman believes that education, career has to be achieved in order to get the protection and the provisions and the long-term building, because there are not enough men that are willing to be in that traditional role. So we say, if that's the case, great, find a modern man. But if you find yourself not having the relationship outcomes that you want and that you're triggered, there is something here emotionally we have to work with. And we say those traumas need to be therapy. So we always recommend, if there is a true medical diagnosis that goes undiagnosed, or there is a deep trauma rooted through a loss or an incident, we always tell people to get that therapy, because working on that allows you to become the best version of yourself for your future significant other or partner in your life. So I'll do one last thing. And I got one question, because a lot of the stuff that you guys are saying is great. Can one of you or both of you kind of give, what was kind of the family dynamic? Mom, dad, religious belief, location.
Where we're coming from? Has it,
yeah.
Our parents?
Our parents?
Yeah.
Oh, my parents got divorced when I was three. Not religious, traditional, but not religious. And my father moved to a different country when I was six, so my brother and I would travel to go see him during our school holidays. That's.
And when we got together, they were very happy about us getting together, your parents. My parents were like, oh my God, what's going on with my son? Like, we want him to be a lawyer or.
So his parents were worried. In the music business. I'm from like a dysfunctional family because my parents are divorced. Yeah, and that
what
was.
What are you marrying into this family who, you know, blah, blah, blah? Because there was also, you know, in England, there's more of a class system, you know, like they're more like, you know, the higher class, like in terms of
his family are more
status and, you know, VIP sort of. So it was like, you know, it's a bit snobbish, but that was how it was. And, you know, and also they've seen how we've given up a lot for our journey together and they don't understand it completely because for them, you know, they struggled so hard to be successful. That should be the focus more than anything, you know. Whereas, you know, I would say that our relationship is, thank God, is on a whole nother level than where we grew up.
Yeah.
I think your parents really appreciate, both our parents really appreciate our relationship.
Yeah.
They see how much we work.
Like her father on the last, we just made it's called a bar mitzvah. I'm sure everyone knows what bar mitzvahs are because Adam Sandler popularized it. But the point, maybe it wasn't just him, maybe it was just always was in Hollywood or whatever. But the point is that we just made one. It was our last one of our boys. And her father saw us at that moment sitting in this nice Airbnb on the couch at the end point of that. And then he was just like, yeah, you know, he gets that we're soul, you know, connection. He has that moment of like soul. And it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. He just got it. And my father as well has had those moments with us as well. Yeah. And it's nice to see when there's those good moments when we're not talking about money or struggles or the kids. When there's just a moment of recognition from our parents, yeah, you're there's a good thing going on here. And that's really validating, you know?
Yeah, that's really great, guys, because a lot of times what I hear is, I came from this background, so I won't have any success. You guys have said that's turned that theory on its ear and not only thrive in your relationship, but are providing a blueprint for other people. And that's really, really admirable from our standpoint, for myself and then for us here at the Middle Ground. Last question. There are six types of men and six types of women. I'm going to ask each of you. So I'll ask first, what type of man would you identify as best? Let's take out what I know you're not. You're not a boy. You're not an F boy. Would you be a guy, a male, modern man, traditional man, or high value?
Between the guy and the high ground, I think.
Guy and high value?
Yeah.
You're not a guy. The guys are just dudes that are, they're at Target. Here we have Target's International. Target, well, Starbucks, so high value.
High value.
And, yeah.
You're not traditional. High value. Not traditional. He's not. He's working on it to be more.
Yeah,
but he's not.
She helps him with the traditional.
He's not a natural, traditional, typical. You know, he's.
I consider myself more revolutionary in the way I think and do things. I'm looking to the future for a whole different way of humanity. That's like I think I can. I believe very deeply that I can help a lot of the world, not in like a egotistical way, just in a purely human way. Reconnect to the soul, and that will save us a lot of stress in relationships with the new technological things that are coming. And I think that it's the idea of a relationship where that is the most manifest. That's why it's so important that I develop this with my wife and my soulmate, as hard as it sometimes is, because it's really where the true mission of what I feel I'm here for comes alive. Even though it's like probably the hardest place, you know?
right. What are some projects that you both have coming up that you'd like to share with the audience?
So we have, my wife and I are going to continue the Relationship Flow podcast. I think that the Unity bookings, the idea of working with a lot of speakers and creatives, artists, mentalists, all different kinds of Unity-focused people who are very good role models, very uplifted in their journey and their personal growth, and they're sharing a lot of light, to keep helping support them in doing that. Myself, keep doing that. Watch my wife in her unique way do it. Not know how she's going to do it, but she's going to do it. And also seeing it starting to happen amongst my children and the community I'm in, and just generating a lot of positive light in a world that, you know, needs it more than ever. And I think also I would like to consolidate the concepts in a book, United Souls. I have it on Substack, but I'd like to really get the book, you know, solid and share it with others and have them contribute. And I think that the world needs more and more content that's like this kind of conversation. You know, we really need to mainstream this kind of content, because it's too much show-off stuff going on, and it's superficial nonsense, and people themselves are not happy from it. And it's sad to watch if they just really would turn a bit more inward and do that inner work that we're trying to do. They would find much more wisdom, much more happiness, much more real content to share. They just need to.
It's hard work, though. That's the thing.
Have to face their pain. Stop escaping.
Yeah. You really have to face yourself to do what we're doing, and it's hard sometimes.
Don't escape.
It's hard, but it's the only way, I think.
We all need a moment of chilling out.
Yeah.
I'm not like saying I'm this like guru or something.
No.
We all need moments to chill out. All of us. We're all human, and that's part of humanity. But to only chill out, like to only avoid and escape, and think that's going to bring happiness in relationships, it's nonsense. You know, they're missing. They're missing who they are, and they're missing the other person in their life. And, you know, they have to tune into that core truth of who they are and be real with it.
Okay. Well, guys, we're coming up on time, but I definitely want to thank you both for the opportunity to speak to your audience and for you to share your story with our audience here at the Middle Ground. Where can the audience connect with you all?
Yeah, so you've done the promotion for us, Relationship Flow Podcast, and I'd like to, you know, hear more from your content as well. The Middle Ground is definitely needed, and we're just excited to see collaborative projects like this. That's my Unity Inspires project is my main, like, brand of bringing together...
like-minded.
Yeah.
Or even not, but like-minded.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see where this can all develop. I'm definitely trying to ground myself more and more, like you wrote in your book, The Middle Ground, finding that place to build from, and I think that's really important. I think I can learn a lot from you as well, Glenn.
Okay. Well, I thank you both again for your time today. I know it's late where you are, and we're in Passover, correct?
So almost. I know it's coming.
Passover is coming. So
it's a whole
preparation. That's right. There's Passover and there's the preparation for it. Yeah. So I understand you guys have made a big sacrifice, which is an investment in the relationship that we all have. So I thank you guys for this time. I'm going to go ahead and end it here. Make sure you guys, to get more content like this, you click or subscribe to the channel below, and we'll make sure that we tag all of the links so you can connect with the Relationship Flow podcast. I've been Glenn, and welcome to the Middle Ground.
Thank you.
Recording stopped.
All right. I'll stop the recording so we can just chat. That was good.
Very good.
That was good. I appreciate it. So I will I'll make sure I get that edited. I'll give you the raw version, and then we'll get kind of like a clean edited version for you. That way you can add your title cards, add your music tracks and everything to it.
Nice.
But I won't. Per does a really good job for me, as well as I have a young lady named Heather who manages all my social media.
Amazing.
So I'm pretty sure they're going to give me some notes on some things that I'll probably have to do for this. But definitely appreciate this opportunity and this time to connect, guys. You guys are probably going to be, for my version, the first live podcast that I had. We will start in. This will probably post for me in my forum, now that I say that, next Saturday. because nice. I'll be doing lives on Friday and then reposting any podcasts or any specific content then to try to grow the audience. We made a decision. I said, I'm gonna abandon coaching. And it's not because I don't like to coach, but it's as far as what energy serves me. I love doing the podcast and I love doing the speaking engagements. So we said, if that's what serves me, let's move in the effort of that.
Sure.
So we can move things forward for the middle ground. You
know? Amazing. And I'm sure you'll get people wanting to meet with you, like, because of all the, you know, the content you're going to do.
You have a really positive energy.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
You speak so clearly and you communicate. Yeah. And yeah, you just have a light about you. So,
and you've done the inner work, so that then it's easy to talk. You know?
It's
you know what I'm talking about, where the world just, you mentioned it last time, they're so not aligned to themselves.
And also what's nice, it's
you just want to like shake up, like you're losing out for yourself. Like,
yeah.
It's nice to meet people who know themselves and know what their goal and passion is, but have a humility. You have a humility about you, even though you're strong and you know who you are and what you're doing, but it's not with ego. And I think that also is why you're so likable. And I think, I think people are going to read, it's something that people already want to hear and learn about from you.
I do feel there's a big, like, also pendulum swing right now that these kind of content is going to go more mainstream.
Like, yeah.
There are media groups who are growing this kind of content, and it is starting to feature, and people out there in the world have had enough of the what was. They want this kind of new age, but old, traditionally based content. Like,
I actually believe, based on the trend for the streaming wars that we have going on, especially here in the United States, we're going to see Netflix, Hulu, and maybe two other companies establish. They're going to pick a lane and say, all right, we're going to create a network for all of these YouTubers, all of these gamers to be here. We're going to throw a bunch of money at them and we're going to promote it, because I look at the numbers from a Nielsen standpoint. People are on YouTube and TikTok more than they watch anything outside of the Super Bowl.
That's true.
So why would you continue to allow those companies, if I'm in the business of media and communicating stories, to benefit from that? And I think we're starting to see it with Netflix. They went away from the large name comedians, large name producers, and they're starting to get with small storytellers and giving them a budget for documentaries. And we're seeing some great documentaries come out here in the United States that are not going to go on the other platforms. And I believe that's going to be the catalyst for it. So hopefully people like us are a part of that number and have the opportunity to continue to grow and tell stories. And, you know, I appreciate the kind words. Thank you very much. That's actually very encouraging with some of the challenges we're having professionally in my business, but I really appreciate that. Ellie, we still need to connect on the booking.
Yeah,
man. I've talked to other people and I don't like them. I like you.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. That's what it's about. Good people.
I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do an email with you after this, after we get this posted, and try to get back with you probably at the end of April, beginning of May, just to kind of see where that shakes out. All right.
Amazing.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. You guys have a great evening. If there's anything you need, nothing more than an email or phone call away. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
All the best. Bye. No, that's finished already.
Can I set it up here?